Day 12, stir crazy at Mike.
Yes.
Oh, no, he's no. got there. He's no. got there. Oh, I thought you were then. It's been a bit of a busy day, hasn't it, boy?
Jonathan wants to know if you're on a walk.
Was I on a walk? Are you on a walk? No, I'm not on a walk. I'm exhausted, but apart from that... Right, let me catch up with who's in. Hello, Jonathan, you were first in. Excellent. Making dinner. CQ, Deb. No, I'm not on a walk. I'm just exhausted, honestly. That's all it is. It's been chaotic. I've been up and down the stairs like a yo-yo. Lola's been giving me the stink eye all day. We've been disturbing her, bless her, haven't we?
And I'm high as a kite.
And Mike's as high as a kite. He's had everything today. Started off with, well, actually, you did start off fairly healthy, to be honest.
I had porridge for breakfast.
Yeah, porridge was fine at breakfast. It was just, it kind of went downhill from there, didn't it?
Followed by Toblerone.
Yeah, but the Toblerone was needed. You see, Jonathan would understand your pain with what you had to deal with today. He's thinking now, what was that? Because it's been that kind of day. What did they want you to do that somebody else said, seriously, now?
Oh, my objectives. Yeah, had to do my goals and objectives.
Well, while he was... Who were you talking about that?
If you're self-employed, then you don't need to worry about that.
No, my objective, as I said, but who were you talking to when you actually said...
Cheryl.
Elaine's laughing.
Cheryl, my
because
colleague.
I went in, and there's me. Mike's saying, so we're doing these objectives then, and I'm sat here, and I'm doing the motions, and I'm singing the words, staying alive, staying alive. You should have seen Mike's face. But, you know, that's our main objective at the moment.
That's the one, Jonathan.
Yes, HR, form filling. Don't like HR.
I put my... by the way, I'm eating a toffee. still high as a kite.
I think we know that, Mike.
Yeah, I put all my objectives in yesterday. And then they told us that they'd sent out the wrong ones and we had to redo them.
But your objectives should be your objectives. They should be immutable. Like your principle.
Mm.
You know what I mean? The fact it can change. And right now, what are the odds they're going to be the same next week? Slim to non-existent. So why are you bothering? That was my take.
Kim, sorry about Boris having a virus.
Yes, poor Boris. Actually, I thought he'd been quite prime ministerial during all this. But today I got a big shock. That meant that the Three Stooges show, as I call it, that happens in the UK about 5 o'clock, so 2 hours ago, they roll out three people. Sometimes it's the health advisors, sometimes it's government. More often than not, it's the Prime Minister. Sometimes it's our finance guy, the Chancellor of the Exchequer. But today, obviously, Boris not allowed out. Why he couldn't have zoomed in, I don't know. But not allowed out. So this guy, Jonathan will appreciate this, Michael Gove took over. Now, it must be understood, for anything else to have any meaning whatsoever, Michael Gove and Boris Johnson were, when David Cameron left, this was after the Brexit debacle, before, you know, 19 prime ministers ago, they both stood against each other. And the rumour was that they were prepared to work together, etc. But basically, they wanted to take over. And Michael Gove withdrew his support from Boris, and they have been arch rivals ever since. He also, how would you describe him, Jonathan? I said to Mike, a face only a mother could love. He just, the way he acts and the clothes he wears when he wanders around doing his, he goes jogging and he looks like an accident in a jumble shop. I said, there's no way you could take the guy seriously for Prime Minister. So he wanders in at 5 o'clock and he actually was incredibly believable. He was credible. And I thought, so is this an act he puts on, being a complete Muppet? Because he was very, very good. It is. It's like an old baby face. He looks like a sort of 55, 60-year-old baby. But I thought he actually did very well today. I mean, credit's where it's due. That wasn't bad at all today. I was impressed. I was expecting much, much worse. Actually, I was expecting Dominic Raab, so obviously everything was an improvement over him. But yes, the Prime Minister's got it. The Health Minister's got it.
By the way, that noise in the background, it was me unwrapping a sweet.
We know that you're addicted to the few, the
no,
handful
no, no,
you've
no.
got left.
It reminds me of when you go to the cinema.
This is what happens when I give Mike a live microphone.
Right, I'm putting them away.
You put them away.
Put them away.
Put them away, yeah. And eat them later. So, yes, that's been going on today. So, Health Minister, not the best, is it? It's so interesting. They weren't keeping 2 metres away only about 3 days ago. So it's not really surprising either. We've also just been told that our beloved daughter is going on the front line on Monday. She's now trying to console her other mother. They've had to be tested to see if they're fit enough, etc. Oh dear, it just gets worse and worse, doesn't it? I'm reading it, but it's a long text, and I'm already behind with everything else, so I'll catch up with that shortly. No, I tend to listen to the 5 o'clock thing, Kim. Hello, Paul. I think I saw the other Paul as well. Have you got all the Pauls in? No, I'm only seeing one Paul. Oh, I must have seen you, Paul. Hello. The mic's working, Mike. Yes, he can hear you. I did fix it. So I'm keeping an eye on him and making sure that neither of us are over-talking one of the other and that we don't have any echo. It's a dark art, this. I also ordered that cable that we talked about, the one that we can install permanently so Mike doesn't forget to plug his microphone in and I don't break my neck on the way out. Now, if that sounds like that wouldn't happen, last night our microphone cable's yellow, bright yellow, because I said to Mike, it's the brightest colour I can get that we'll see. My headphone cable is black. And as I was going downstairs for the Clap for Carers last night, you will have heard me cursing on. I tripped over and it had got wrapped around my foot, the black cable, because I didn't see it. I clearly need a yellow cable for my headphones as well. I did actually have a red one. It broke the first week of the crisis. I'm on to my third microphone cable. So I'm going to have to be very careful and get another one out of that. I have set up a load of stuff, though, because if I see one more Zoom conference, I think I'll spit, Mike. And we've now acquired one at the weekend as well, haven't we? In fact, potentially two. But that's training people. So, yeah, we need to sort that out as well.
I did, Kim. Yeah.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, there wasn't that much left. It's only a glass.
Ah, but I have.
It was one that I opened about 2 weeks ago, and rather than leaving it out on the top, I put it in the cupboard, and I just totally forgot about it.
Until today,
when I opened the cupboard, and I thought, "Oh, what's there?"
Well, I do know. We bought a whole thing. We bought a gift for the gentleman who helps us out with the Munich thing, and we bought a gift for his wife. And I happen to know that that's still sat downstairs, isn't it, Mike? And it was a very nice bottle of wine.
It is.
Mm. So I think that's going to be like emergency supplies.
Yeah, but red wine doesn't go off. You might actually get that.
Oh, we might get the wine. Well, I think the biscuits will. But we've got lots of pictures to show you of what's been going on here today. But literally, I got to bed. I sent a poster to the group, which the majority, I think, have seen, at the coffin. Don't ask. What can I say? It was late. Oh, how was it? It was my muse. And I put on it, you know, I think it was 2:40 a.m. And I was literally about to head off to bed. And then something else happened. And I ended up not getting to bed till about 4:30 and not getting to sleep till after 5. Then I was up again at 9 because my texts were going crazy, about 10 to 9. And then I was doing something for a bit. And then I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try and get another half an hour. I wasn't asleep when Mike came in and said, didn't know if you know, but Boris has got it. Yes, Jonathan, 4:30. So, and I don't drink coffee. Might start doing that. Have we got any, Mike?
We have, actually.
I can't abide the smell. There's no way I could drink the stuff. I only ever, in my entire life, because I really don't like the smell. My mother loved coffee. She lived on it. Me could never abide the smell. But there was this occasion. This is a funny story. One of my funny but true stories. I'd be sick at the smell of it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. But I went to a concert. And it was, they've knocked that down, haven't they, the Stockport Davenport Theatre.
Mm.
It was a ye old theatre. I think it was probably Picture House Movie Theatre that they converted to be a live theatre. And it was a band that I wanted to see. And I'd got this ticket. I got a really good ticket. I was like in the front two rows. And I went down really early with my 12-inch album from the band that I wanted autographed. And I was down there literally like 10 o'clock in the morning. And it was Clannad, if you've ever heard. They're doing their farewell tour at the moment. But at the time, they were really big anyway in their own right. But they'd also just done a song with Bono from U2. And I'm a huge U2 fan. I've been for donkey's years. Since well before Jonathan was even thought of, that long Jonathan. So there I was, clutching my album, looking totally out of place at this thing. And they had a stage door guy on. So much later, I must have been there about 2 hours by this stage, because I had no idea what time they were coming. And it's a small venue. It's not like one of these arena things. So he started chatting to me. So I'm chatting with him, and he said, why don't you come in and have coffee? I said, oh, have you got tea? He said, no, I've only got coffee. I thought, oh dear. So he said, but you don't have to if you don't want. No, I'll come in and have coffee. Thought, into the theatre, just out my way. So he invited me in. Good evening, Tracy. And I meandered in, and he proudly put this cup of coffee in front of me. So I'm nearly heaving just at the smell. So he's like, try it. I thought, I'm going to actually have to get my nose near this. Oh, it was vile. It was horrible. But I takes it up to my lips, and I do manage to actually take about half a teaspoonful. The second his back was turned, I did the thing that you've seen all the comedy shows where somebody pours it into a potted plant. I actually did that. I have no notice of whether the plant survived or not, but I poured at least 3/4 of it into this plant and said that was very nice. I couldn't drink any more. What a liar. Anyway, because I was inside with the stage doorman going green round the gills, when the band arrived, oh, I was in. Not only did I get my album signed, still got it today. It had a black cover. The album was called Macalla, which is a Gaelic word. And I'd taken a silver pen for them to sign it, because obviously the cover's jet black. So it was all signed in silver pen. There it was, framed. And he invited me into the sound check. So I may nearly have killed myself to get in there, but it was worth it. I sat through the entire sound check. There I was in my seat when they rolled up. And I even managed to sort of give this stage door guy the glad eye, to give the security guy the glad eye, not to chuck me out when I took photos. So I've got 2 whole rolls of photos of it as well. It was an amazing night. But all I can remember whenever I think about it is that coffee was
those
vile.
And photos were on a roll.
Photos were on a roll, yep. And I had a 1,600 exposure ISO film. I had 2 rolls of it, I think 4 on each. And I changed it at half time during the break. And yeah, I got some really good photos. Obviously, I couldn't use flash. But the people sat around me were like, yours look amazing. So I said, I will share. Oh, yes, what a night that was. I wonder what year that was. When was Macalla out? I'm reckoning probably around 1985, 86-ish. That would be my best guess. Unfortunately, they knocked the place down a good few years ago, but not before you had a fabulous night there.
Yeah, Shawaddy Waddy.
Shawaddy Waddy.
Shawaddy Waddy.
Yeah, took Mike to see Shawaddy Waddy. Oh, another one of his dirty little secrets, really, isn't it? Hey, Clannad aren't exactly rock and roll, are they? They're not Queen. But it was a good night. It was a good night. So, yes, things have been a bit strange here today. It feels like the calm before the storm.
I bet our non-UK friends don't know Shawaddy Waddy.
They might. Let us know. Have you ever heard of Shawaddy Waddy? Let us know. As I was saying, it feels a bit like the calm before the storm to me. What about you, Mike?
Yeah.
It feels a little bit like by Monday, the world will have gone mad. I wish they'd got us in lockdown 10 days earlier, to be honest. I was pretty much doing the self-isolating thing since Christmas. But that's me. I'm an introvert. You wouldn't believe it, would you? No, the people can be a little bit overbearing, can't they? If they're not our people. Like the people who have been having a go at Alex, which is just disgusting. Disgusting. If you've not been in the chat, Alex has had grief on Facebook, which is disgusting, for trying to help people, believe it or not. So I tried to rally the troops, and you've been fabulous. You've been fabulous. She said it's made such a difference. So that's fantastic. You've got to support each other.
Johnny's heard of them.
Johnny's heard of them. Well, they're kind of a comeback now, aren't they? Tracy agrees that coffee's vile.
Yeah, they're supposed to be playing in Warrington in December.
Oh, Clannad or Shawaddy Waddy?
Shawaddy Waddy.
Oh, right. I think Clannad's concert went ahead, believe it or not. Couldn't believe that. It was ridiculous. The Tracy agrees with me. I'm not fond of the smell roasting, but the bit that gets me is the way my mum always used to do it. And she tended to do it where she put coffee in it, but she then put like whitener in it, milks or cream. And the smell of the cream hitting the coffee, that did it for me. That's me gone. I hated it. My aunt also drank it, exactly the same as my mother. So when they got together, it was like, oh, it was vile. And mum could never grasp that I just did not like coffee at all. I'm fine with tea. I have tea, black, which most people in England, that's like a no-no. Nobody drinks black tea. I used to have tea with lots of sugar in. Kim, close your ears now. But I had a condition as a child that they tried to manage with neat sugar. I've mentioned this before. So what they said was, you know, if you're feeling a bit on the queasy side, put the sugar in it. It's acidosal ketosis, which is the opposite of diabetes, where you don't have sugar. And the fastest way to get the sugar in was to put it in tea. So it wasn't unusual for my mother to bring me a tea that had five or six sugars in it. I think I'd be sick if I tried to drink that now, because now I have it black, no milk, no sugar. Who would have thought that that was possible? But it is. It's actually possible. Yeah, you can now listen again, Kim. No, you're understanding the tea thing. This is why I've got 47 toothbrushes, just in case. No, I'd like to like the roasting smell, but actually I don't. Jonathan, I'm loving that. The only reason he knew about it because there was an LP Del Boy was trying to sell. I've never seen that episode.
I don't think I have.
Oh, but you've seen Del Boy. Oh, that was a brilliant series. Love that. Absolutely love it.
There you go. Shawaddywaddy.net.
So you like your espresso? No. No, definitely not. I don't understand all these flat white malarkeys and stuff like that. Coffee's coffee. It all smells the same, and that's as far as I get. I didn't see the nasty comment, Tracy. I believe this has all been done in DMs, and Alex was just saying that this was what had happened. So she'd got a lot of negative comments. What I think she tried to do with it was neutralise it by kicking him out of where she was talking, and that way there would have been no problem, and then got even more grief for doing that. So that was what I took from it, and I thought, this is just, come on, seriously? I mean, I won't go into detail now because it won't make any sense without the pictures, but later, because it's after hours tonight, I've got to get a mail out before after hours, I've got some photos from the day, and I'm going to make a point that it isn't what you do, you know, whatever it is that you do, it might be easy for you. So we've helped people this week with Zoom meetings. So we've actually demonstrated Zoom countless times to people who have never done video conferencing before. So I actually went into an all boys meeting, Katini and Do, all boys. Didn't turn my camera on, didn't want to frighten them, you know, woman in the room, just left my avatar up. And talked them through the stuff, the bits of Zoom that Mike wasn't overly familiar with. So Mike's done his bit, I've done my bit. That was nothing to us. That's easy for us. It would be difficult for somebody else, but it was easy for us. But it isn't what you do or how difficult what you do is to you. It's the value of that to the other person. That's what paying it forward is all about. And I've got no problem doing that. We've got one scheduled tomorrow. I think we've got another one scheduled on Sunday. And then before you know it, it'll be Monday. And we'll be back like rats on wheels again. But it's a crisis, and that's what you do. And I cannot understand anybody criticising anybody else for doing anything other than leaving the house. Don't leave the house. Don't go up to Blackpool to walk the dog. Not even joking there. We've got a friend who lives about 30 seconds from the seafront in Blackpool. Blackpool's a coastal town on the west of England. It's got a tower. Think the Eiffel Tower, but much smaller. So it's a huge seaside draw. It's also the place, if any of you have ever seen Strictly Come Dancing, that they go with the ballroom. And it's about 60 miles away from here. Just fractionally south of it, there is a place called St. Anne's, and it has sand dunes on the beach. People are driving hundreds of miles to take the dog for a walk. We talked about them going into the country yesterday, but honestly, now they're all going to the seaside. Head desk. They're the kind of people I would criticise, because that's just totally selfish. As was pointed out yesterday, you know, the car would go break. Then you've got the RAC man out, or the AA man out, you know, the road recovery people. Ridiculous. You should have seen us today with one of our deliverers. There was the two of us on one side of the door wearing masks and gloves, and him on the other side looking exactly the same. We kind of opened the door 1 inch and went, "Just throw it in the porch." And he shouted back, "Close the door, I will." And then you've got people wandering around for miles walking a dog. It's ridiculous. I cannot understand it. And I'm with Jonathan. I don't understand why people waste their own life to be negative. It doesn't make any difference. So the key is, Kim, consume it and then do your teeth. What I find is, if I attempt to do that, I don't actually then want to have the sugar. Now, sometimes for me, I've got no choice. I actually have to. I was taking it as liquid, like a glycerin thing. You put it on a spoon and it was like honey, but set like rock. But yeah, you want to brush your teeth after it. It's that bad.
Kim's been disparaging about me.
What's she saying?
She knows very well what she said.
What's here?
She won't find it in the chat.
Won't I?
No.
Why? Where is it? Come on, then spend time. What's going on, Mike?
She said on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook.
That Kiva will soon have a clipper that I can borrow.
He's got lovely curls. He doesn't like them. Well, I've got a pair of hairdressing scissors. I actually said to Mike, and I wasn't even joking, I calculated once, you know, all my girly friends.
Have you got girly friends?
I have girly friends. Yeah. I didn't have until about 5 years ago, but now I do. So I have girly friends. They go and have their nails done. They go and have their hair done. They have their hair dyed. What else do they do? Jewellery.
Handbags, shoes.
Most of them have their toenails done. Never can understand that, but whatever. I am not a girly like that. But I calculated, it was like, if you had your nails done once a month, and you had your hair done once every 6 weeks, and you had your hair coloured every 3 months, I calculated it all. You know what's coming next, don't you?
Yes, you could buy half a dozen iMac.
Exactly. I proved the point that you could have an iMac and an iPad every year. So, that was the point I decided. No nails done. No, none of that malarkey. But got to look after my hair, haven't I? Not to mention what we spent on teeth, but that was a whole different business. So I decided I would do my own. So I went out and I got a pair of hair scissors. It's not easy if it's long, and my hair is long. It's probably, how long would you say it is, Mike? 12, 15 inches?
Yeah.
It's not as long as it used to be. Mind you, I've only just cut it. But it's probably around the 15 inches mark. But if you know what you're doing, so I taught myself to do it. So I brush it all forward and it looks absolutely fine, doesn't it? Like, when I say I've had my hair done, nobody says you do it yourself. So I save an absolute fortune. And I just said to Mike, if we're under lockdown for 3 months, can you imagine what our buddies are going to look like? He said, "That's cruel." And I said, "I do my own." This is why. Oh, it literally, it came to thousands. It came to at least about £3,800 that they were spending on just painted nails. Don't understand that myself. If I paint my nails, then I can't unscrew things with them and stuff like that. And long nails, I can't tap my touch stuff. So why would I do that? But anyway, there you go. So I look fine. I'm sure I will continue to look fine. Luckily, my hair was done when we were away in Elverston. So I'm only 3 weeks into another hairdo, so I'm fine. There's a difference, Paul, between being pessimistic about something. And hello, by the way, the first Paul got in and I thought it was you, but then I'd seen it was him twice, and then I didn't say hello to you. So hello, Paul from Ohio. It all makes sense. They understand me, Mike. There's a difference between being pessimistic and negative to others. Pessimistic is just maybe things will go wrong, but negative, there's some of these comments saying she shouldn't be doing it and she's being selfish. What? She's helping other people. There's some amazing stories coming out that we all had no idea about. There's a place in Devon, probably not far from Graham, called Ilfracombe. Anybody heard of it? Let me know. Ilfracombe. I've been there. Now, can I just say, it was the worst holiday of my entire life. Well, possibly with the exception of the one where Dad set the tent on fire. But it was a close-run thing. Not even joking. It was a poor holiday as a child. I was 8. And we went down as a family with me and my mum and dad and my aunt, uncle and cousin. And my cousin was only about 2. It was a bad holiday because it's incredibly hilly and you've got to drive everywhere going from place to place. And the problem with doing that is because it's so hilly, it's dangerous. And they have sand pull-ins at the side of the road. So if your brakes go, you are meant to just swerve into one of these sand things. Well, I mean, your brakes can go at any point, but I guess it was the incline on the hill that was going to be problematic. But it really, really worried her. She was a bag of nerves the entire holiday. The thing that did my head in was it didn't have a sand beach. It was a shale beach and there was nowhere to go. So there was literally just this tiny cove. And Dad would say, like, well, I'll take you out in the dinghy. Graham's from, is it, can't remember the name of the place, Brabacombe, somewhere like that?
I don't know. Tracy's asking.
I can't remember the exact place, but when we drag Graham back in, we'll ask him. So I didn't enjoy this holiday. The other thing that went wrong with it, as far as I was concerned, was it was a 2-week break. And on the way there, my aunt and uncles, they had a little van. And they were driving down in the van. The steering went on the van. So we had to tow them from Exeter. So that wasn't great either. It was before the M5, I think. So it was a horrific journey. But as if that wasn't bad enough, neither of the hotels that they looked at could put all 6 of us up for the entire 2 weeks. So halfway, we were going to have to go to another hotel. But the hotel we first went to was the Younger Hotel and it was quite trendy. And when we switched halfway, it was like a cross between Fawlty Towers and a haunted house. You got in this lift that looked like it had come out of an Agatha Christie, a Poirot novel. And then you're supposed to get off at the second floor. But the lift would often jam and take you up to the 3rd floor. Which would have been fine. You could have just walked down the stairs. But the 3rd floor wasn't used. So if you think of The Shining, that's what it looked like. It completely freaked me out. I hated the 2nd week. I wanted to have a go at snooker and they wouldn't let me. I'll admit I was 8 and couldn't reach the table. But that's not the point. I wanted to go. So yeah, not good. Not good. I have been back to Devon since and there are much nicer places, in my opinion, than Ilfracombe. I went back to Torquay. Torquay was fabulous. Went to Torquay and what's the other place nearby? Plymouth. Plymouth. You may have heard of Plymouth Hoe. That's beautiful. Enjoyed that immensely. Spent 2 weeks there. Loved it. But no, not Ilfracombe. But what Ilfracombe are doing and already had in place, this wasn't something that was put in place because of the coronavirus. This was already in place. Every single street in the town had a person allocated to it. And they are like the coordinator for anybody who needs anything at any time. And that was already in place. Why don't we have anything like that anywhere else? Not a clue. Not a clue. So that was all over the news and hopefully people will take their idea and run with it now. It would be nice. I think I'd said to Mike, I hope it lasts long enough to change people. So a week, not enough. I'm thinking 3-4 months maybe, enough to really make an impact on people. Because like I said, I felt I've been preparing for this all my life. I'm fine. I'm not stir crazy. And you are getting out with a dog. You are at least getting out with the dog, because Mike would go stir crazy. Went through Exeter once. I've been through Exeter a couple of times. Exeter's like the last bit of civilization before you head into Devon. And I mean that in the nicest possible way, but I think Exeter's where the motorway finishes now, isn't it? So after that, it's all dirt tracks. But it is a beautiful, beautiful county. It really is.
It's not dirt tracks, it's main roads.
Yeah, but their main roads are like dirt tracks if you're from Manchester. You know, like Norfolk. That didn't even qualify as a dirt track. That didn't even qualify as a cycle path.
Oh, when we went to that radio
show. It wasn't wide enough for the car. And it was a dual carriageway. Oh, my God, that was just terrifying. And I was driving, as I recall. Oh, no, we're not doing that again. So you've only been to Heathrow. Oh, and Scotland's beautiful.
See, it's no dirt tracks.
Mm. Maybe it was a long time ago. How long ago? It was before we met, wasn't it?
No.
It was.
I'm talking about the radio shop.
Oh, the radio shop. Yeah. That was shocking.
Yeah.
That was. It's probably my recollection, Tracy. It was 29 years ago that I last visited. I need to visit again. It wasn't that bad, I guess. It's just I'm more of a motorway girl. I like to travel everywhere on a motorway. Keeps me happy. My Amazon Prime has now been delivered. Rate your order. What's Don't it? Tempt me. No, this was the other one.
No,
that's something entirely different. Hang on.
Told me to lock the door.
Just a minute. Important text. I think it's from your mother. I can't see on the watch. Maybe it's not your mother. Maybe it's a WhatsApp from your mother. I wish she'd stick to one platform. I get a message and the name passes by and then I have to go looking for it. It could be anywhere. Is it in WhatsApp? Have you had one from your mother?
No.
Oh, well, I'll have a look then in case she has. She may have a crisis. You never know. Nope, not in that one. I must have been seeing things and WhatsApp's acting up. Never mind. Did they film Doc Martin in Exeter? It must have been down that way. I'd not actually seen it myself.
I'll text her and ask her.
No, she's fine. No, I haven't had one. No.
Doc Martin.
Let's have a look.
Film location. Port Isaac, Cornwall. Yes.
So it is Cornwall.
Cornwall. Yeah, it's down there.
The street sealed for the first time. The only time that's happened up here. And I do remember it. And I watched the programme especially, just in case. They closed off. Is Neil with us tonight? I have not seen Neil. When Neil catches up, he'll not know exactly where this is. There's a road just round the corner and it's called The Avenue. You know, it's not like Woodlands Avenue. It's The Avenue. Bit like the Bishop's. Is it the Bishop's Avenue? In London?
No idea.
Oh, it's the most expensive street in London. Jonathan will know it. I'm sure it's the Bishop's Drive or the Bishop's Avenue. One or other of them. Well, we just have The Avenue. So really expensive houses. You know, 3-4 million. And Mike was taking Maya for a walk. Now, Maya did not like to be disturbed on his walks. Absolutely not. On pain of death, did he not? And they were walking up the avenue and they'd sealed it off to record that one with Caroline Quentin. What was that called?
Blue Murder.
You may have seen that one. It was a good series. There was only about 4 episodes in each series. But it was Caroline Quentin and who was that good-looking piece from Emmerdale? Ian something, I think. They were recording an episode of that. And it was all like quiet on set. Maya didn't do quiet and it was his street for crying out loud. So he let them know in no uncertain terms. They were filming this thing and there's Maya walking past absolutely barking his proverbials off. I said to Mike, I don't know if they'll actually use that, but I'm going to watch the show just in case. Sadly, we didn't see him. We did see The Avenue, but we did not see our boy. Most unfortunate. I'd imagine the Aneadin line would be filmed down there. Didn't they film the one with Meryl Streep down there, French Lieutenant's Woman? Wasn't that down there?
No idea.
I'm sure it's near Graham, because I'm pretty sure he said he'd been. I can't for the life of me remember the town it was filmed. Was it? Oh, nearly had it then. Was it Saint something? Somebody will know. Somebody will know. It was Meryl Streep and who was the guy in that? Was it Anthony? Jeremy Irons. I think it was Jeremy Irons. And I was very interested in that because one of my favourite actors a few years ago did the stage version of it. And we were wondering how on earth they'd do a stage version. But they did and it was amazing. It was about 3 hours 25 long. Longest play I've ever been to. Had two breaks in it. But it was fantastic. And we were... It was 2006, so we didn't have any mobile internet. I know I'm horrified looking back. So what we needed to do while we were away was find an internet cafe. And they actually had one. This is in a place in the UK called Guildford. That's the one, Lyme Regis, that's where it was. Well, Jonathan's Graham's not far from there. Jonathan's just dropped something in the kitchen now because... I've got him mixed up with Graham. Well, where we were was a place called Guildford. And it's just outside London. And we went into this internet cafe thing and we got talking to the guy. It was actually a business and he only had like two computers, but it said internet cafe outside and it was the only one we could find. So we went down there and we got talking to him. And it turned out he'd met the author, John Foles. And we're having a fantastic chat with him about it and the fact that he'd been down there and he'd seen some of the filming and he'd met the guy. Oh, it was amazing. And that was actually nowhere near Lyme Regis, but I've never been to Lyme Regis. It's somewhere that I would like to go and see, I must admit. I can see us venturing down there at some point with Lola. That would be so cool, wouldn't it? I'd like to do that. Having said that, we also love Scotland and we were going to head up to Scotland. I'm glad we're not doing that thing in May that was in Scotland, though, because guess what? That was Aberdeen. Where's Charlie? Aberdeen.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, so now he's infected Aberdeen. I'm not going. We were contemplating going to Aberdeen. We would have gone in May, but for this and but for adopting Lola. Unfortunately, the hotel wasn't dog friendly. If they're not dog friendly, they're not us friendly. So we won't go. So unfortunately, we weren't going to go anyway. But now it's been cancelled. So it's completely moot point. But we did go many years ago up to Edinburgh. We loved it so much. We actually looked at houses at the time. Internet connection. Shocking. Which was most unfortunate because the houses were like a third of the price, if not less than in the UK. But no internet connection. No deal. But it was a beautiful place. It was just north of Edinburgh and we loved it. The other reason we have a soft spot for anywhere in Scotland at all, particularly south of Glasgow, is that's where Mayer came from. He was a Scottish boy. We were looking for a boy. We needed a boy because my mum would not entertain a girly dog. Bad experience previously. And every litter was all girls. And we were like, I don't believe this. You know, she's finally, and this was literally 32 years after I'd asked for a dog, she'd finally agreed to it. And because we lived in a shared house, it was like the MacBites family, extended. So we wouldn't have had a dog if she didn't agree with it because it would have impinged on her space. So in the shared areas. So no dog until she agreed. Then she agreed, then we couldn't buy one. So we went up to the place we formerly mentioned, Blackpool, to see a breeder who had five puppies, all girls. Oh, they were adorable. They're only 4 weeks old. They were so cute. And she said, you know what? I'm just going to give one more person a ring. And she'd already rang round everywhere from Birmingham to Newcastle. And it was, no, I've got five girls. I've got six girls. I guess no one had a boy. And she rang this lady in Stonehouse, which is just south of Glasgow. And she said, yeah, I've got three boys. And she said, are they all taken? And she said, no, I've got one left. He was the one left. So we were going to get whichever boy the others didn't want. But when we got there, we actually got there. This was the next day, bank holiday. We got there first. And there were these three cute dogs. One of them had two dots on his nose that were white and they called him Double Dot. And the other one, he was very sleepy, was Double Dot. And the other one was very standoffish. And then there was Mayer. And he just took one look at us, sat down next to our feet and like, right, when we going? Of course, the other guy was coming from Northern Ireland and he wanted a show dog. So he was going to get the pick of the dogs. And I figured, well, he isn't going to want to take the one with the dot on its nose in case the pigment doesn't fill in, because that would be considered a fault if it was a show dog, whereas I didn't care. That was 50-50 then, which dog he'd go for. So when he arrived, she took Maya, who became Maya, outside. Maya was having none of it. He was scratching, he was scrambling, he couldn't get away fast enough and ran back into us. So she said, he's yours, the guy's taking the other one. Yeah, because Maya wouldn't have a bar of him. So that was how we got Maya. So Maya was always the Scottish dog. And whenever he heard a Scottish accent, despite the fact he left home at the 7 weeks, whenever he heard a Scottish accent, he'd go up to the TV and just be staring at it. Oh, it was lovely. So that's why we like Scotland. Dartmoor, similar. I've never done the Dartmoor thing. The nearest I've got, Tracy, is a place called either Bovey Tracy or Bovey Tracy, depending on how you pronounce it, which I think is on the edge of one of the moors. I'm not sure if it's Dartmoor or Exmoor, but it's on the edge. And it's famous for its pottery, isn't it?
It is.
Because Mike's dad was hugely into pottery and he'd been down there too. So I ended up going
broken
through
and pottery.
Broken pottery, shards. Yeah, but the thing, when you went to sort your mother's computer, I went through an entire book on broken pottery that Mike's father had actually written. And he was a very self-deprecating man. And he'd say, you wouldn't be interested, you wouldn't be interested. And I've got this book about broken pottery in front of me. And I am trying my damnedest to look interested. So, you know, make it easier for me. That one's interesting. What's the story behind that one? The entire book. Oh, it's Bovey. Okay, Bovey. Fair enough then. Oh, that's amazing. That's where your name came from. A lot of people there seem to call it Bovey, but I don't know if they were tourists. I will go with Bovey then. Lived in a share house for over 30 years. It worked for us. Our shared house worked for us. I went away to university, but as I told you the other day, I had a job in Manchester and university in London. So I was down in London half the week and up in Manchester doing my job and working on my degree at the same time. So I was backwards and forwards. So I considered, although I did have a place to stay when I was down there, that I've never really left home, that this was home. And we still live there now. So I moved in when I was 12, just turned 12. So 40 years ago. Mike moved in 2001. We'd been dating 9 years then, though, hadn't we?
We had.
So it was acceptable. And we'd been engaged for two. Yeah, we're having an engagement party, apparently. 21 years engaged in December. So because we're all housebound at the moment, marooned, our friends are saying, one of them was saying, I'm thinking of having a party in October for our wedding anniversary. And I said, we're heading into 21 years engaged. We should have a party for that. It's also our anniversary coming up on Easter Sunday, the 12th of April, 1992, when he finally, how long had we known each other? 9 months?
Yeah.
Finally got the courage to ask me out. It all hinged on the outcome of the cup final. We'll tell you about that nearer the time. But yeah, I have no problem with them shared houses. It worked well for us. It meant they could go away and they were sure that the house was all right, and they would look after Maya when we needed to go away. It worked fabulously well. Loved it. I can't imagine it. Well, when Dad died and then Maya died, then Mum died, when Mike went to work, he started ringing me every day because he said, you'll go out of your mind. And that was when I was having all of the problems with my teeth. And I was basically, we had a bedroom downstairs then, so our office was more secure. And all the tech stuff was upstairs. And I was basically just lying on the bed moaning quietly to myself for about 4 weeks. And it was totally quiet. It was at the back of the house. There was no dog, no people. That was when I started putting the radio on in the mornings, which is something I'd never done, not since I was a child. So if you ever hear me talk about Ken Bruce, he's my morning buddy when Mike's not here. Which obviously at the minute you are. So Ken Bruce has had to take a back seat. But it's BBC Radio 2 and it's kind of easy listening music, good chat.
No, that's when I have my coffee break.
Yeah, he does have his coffee break.
Well, not with the coffee, obviously.
Not with the coffee, no. What did we used to say when we met Mike?
Last kiss before the coffee.
Last kiss before the coffee. That was when he did drink coffee, not drunk it since. Exactly. Oh, dear me. All right, I'm looking at the chat. I'm going back up the chat. So who's joining us later anyway? Oh, am I ready? Got post-it notes on my desk.
I'm getting ready.
I said to Mike, I'm going to post-it note this. And what I mean by post-it note is I put post-it notes across the desk, going from left to right, with the main headings on. And the reason that I post-it noted it was the fact that Notion had a moment. It was literally just a moment, but it was enough to freak me out. The sidebar vanished and I couldn't save anything on one page. And I thought, not before the show. Not before the show. But I've got everything in front of me. So if in the case of a calamity, which it seems all right now, I can do this thing. So we've got some updates. We've got some fantastic photos from this week. I've got the pictures of the dog because I saw a message come in about that. I'm behind on Slack, but I will get there. What else have we got? We've got the replacement for Fantastical, which has proved... there's one issue I need to sort out with that, so I'll try and do that before we go into the show. Then we've got the multiple Notion import thing that was requested. So I've got that one in there. Where am I going here? That's that one there. That's where I'm going. We've got some freebies. Now, do you think extended trials go with freebies? Mike said yes, but I've put them separate. I've got a few extended trials. And then we've got the virtual presenters toolkit, which I've co-opted Mike into.
And my Excel bit.
And your Excel bit. Mike's Excel bit was inspired by Pete today. Pete put the call out for some VBA to create an index. Now, to be honest, that's something you should have built years ago, because I asked you for that, got totally ignored. You know, like the wife thing. Yeah, that. Got ignored. But virtual presenters toolkit, I had some notes kicking around in, I think it was Scrivener. It was something that I was going to talk about in a Matt Bites learning session, but we never got round to it, you know, as you don't, because you're doing 50,000 other things. But then Jonathan mentioned it and I thought, okay, let's dust that off. And then I decided, because some point we're going to look at mind mapping, aren't we? I threw the whole thing down in a mind map, which it does give you a completely different view on it. So I've put the thing in a mind map, and as I was looking at it, I was thinking there's things in there to demonstrate, to actually show you, to give you ideas for apps that you can actually use. But there's also scope just to chat and say, well, how did you cope with that and what do you do about this? So I've co-opted Mike into the last session as well, so we'll leave his microphone open after Excel and we'll go into that. Let's have a look here. Now Mike's just put a hashtag in, you need new glasses. That's actually quite prophetic, isn't it, Mike? What did you get this week in the post? A letter.
First of all, I got a text. Well, I had a hygienist appointment on the 30th, which is next Monday. Is it Monday?
Yep.
I actually had one about 2 weeks ago, but I cancelled it.
Teeth not ready, were they not?
They weren't ready.
You know, like you really go mad with your teeth 2 weeks before, well, yeah. Were you behind?
Yeah, I was behind with
the
flossing.
Don't admit that to Kim.
Don't tell Kim. Yeah, so I got a text message the other day that said, you'll understand that all the non-essential appointments cancelled. So, yeah, I thought, no problem with that. I assumed it would be. And then about 2 hours later, I got an email from the dentist that said, you're due to book a hygienist appointment.
Automated systems, gotta love them. Oh, my dentist has shut down for the moment as well. That could be calamitous if I need somebody, because I can't just have any dentist, it's got to be my dentist. That was your dental appointment. I meant the other one.
The other one?
He's had a tough week, what can I say? Should have gone.
The Specsavers.
Yeah. Your letter from Specsavers.
Yeah.
They want to see him for an eye test. I said, that's going to be tricky, seeing as though they're shut. Why do you send stuff out like that? I mean, that arrived yesterday. It must have been on the way since...
No, it arrived about a week ago. It's been sat in the...
Oh, you just didn't look at it. Oh, that explains lots then.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, good grief, what are we like? So, yes, he needs to get new glasses. I probably need to go and see an optician, but I don't like opticians. I actually tried to persuade the dentist to open up an optician department. Now, that might sound like that doesn't go together, but at the time, the person that owns it, don't know how it works in the States, Kim, but over here, many moons ago, you just used to have a dentist. About that was back in the day, like 45 years ago, when there probably wasn't the investment in equipment required that there is today. Things were probably a little bit more primitive back then. I'm sure I remember pliers. But since then, and obviously the equipment, there tend to be bigger practices, and some of them are even taken over by, like, you're with Bupa Dental Care, aren't you? Yeah. Which is nationwide. Now, my dental practice is owned by one guy. But the other dentists that work there like 2 days a week and then go somewhere else for 2 days a week. So they're free-floating dentists. But the guy who owns it, his wife, is a chiropodist. And so there's a foot clinic, or there was a foot clinic in there, until the foot clinic got that big and the dentist got that big, they had to separate the premises. But I thought it was a natural progression to have an optician in there. Until I got talking to my dentist, who said he can't be dealing with eyeballs. And apparently when he was doing his, oh, now there was a name for it. You'll know it, Kim. You'll know it. Is it facial masco something or other? But basically he had to be on call for facial reconstructive surgery that involved jaws and dental work. And this guy came in and he said it was the worst case he'd ever seen. He'd been in a car accident and his eyeball was basically carried in next to him. And he said he had to hold all the equipment while his mentor was basically piecing this guy's face back together. And he said, I was heaving because I can't look at eyeballs. I thought, sounds like me with coffee. Oh, my word. Yes, now this weekend, the clocks do change. So when I send the mail out for Sunday's marooned, which I will do. Only reason I haven't done today is if I send two mails out, people get uppity. So will there be a mail for 9 o'clock? And when I send the one out, I will put in there that the time's changed. But what will happen is we'll go back to where we were 4 weeks ago. So what will happen is we will be going forward an hour. So instead of being 7 hours ahead of you, we'll be 8 hours ahead on the west coast and 5 hours ahead on the east coast and wherever we were before. That's the one. Maxillofacial. That's the one. Yes. Well, he was working with one of those on a 6 month placement, but he didn't like eyeballs. So I explained I'm not good at opticians ever since they did that. The eye pressure test thing where they blow at your eyeball. I may have been all right if they had warned me. But I thought they were just putting me in front of, like, a different strength machine when all of a sudden this blow air came at me. No, I screamed blue murder, jumped in my old. They weren't finishing that job and they didn't. I find with my eyes, it changes depending on what I eat. And that's so true, isn't it, Mike? Mm. My eyes at the minute are fabulous, but I'm probably not eating the healthiest stuff I could. When I eat ultra healthy, my eyes deteriorate instantly. So I have to keep a very careful balance with that. But at the moment, it's good, so I'm sticking with it. They don't blow your eyes anymore. So I know they're testing pressure, aren't they? Do they have another way to test pressure?
It did for me last year.
Well, Kim's saying they don't there. I'm wondering if they get the result of that test, but in a different way. Maybe they're more advanced than us. We're still boiling up like a frog, to be honest, aren't we? If you think about it, can you read the bottom line? That's basically where they're at. I also don't like the fact they get too close for my liking. Now, you see, I'm okay with my dentist. That's why I have to have my dentist. I'm fine. I see this social distancing thing. I was made for it. I don't like people that close. You're in my space. You know when blokes come up to you at events like Fingers Tom? We went to this event and it was St. George's Night Ball. And I'm dancing with Mike. So Mike's in front of me and he said, watch out. And I didn't get a chance to turn round. But this guy came up behind me and threw his arms around my waist and started dancing with me from behind. Well, Nina, you know, my bestie that sorted out the dog food, she's in front of me and she's just got this look of sheer blind terror on her face that I was going to turn around and deck this guy. He was touching me. Not good. Now, he should have known better because there's an entertainer that goes to a lot of the events, not our circle's events, but the other circle's events. And he's called Kenny. Always reminds me of South Park. He's called Kenny, but we call him Fingers Kenny. He's like an old style crooner. Doesn't take the hint, you know, when I'm glowering at him, like, you know, go. He doesn't take the hint. He wanders up and starts putting his arm around you. Yeah, he's got many an elbow before today. Not been near me for quite a while, thankfully. I just don't like that. It's creepy. Don't do it. Men, don't do it. It's not good. It's not good. Like the guy when I had my hair done, who came up and put his finger under my fringe and lifted it up. You're in my space by about 3 yards. Back off, dude. That was not good, and that was only 3 weeks ago. Mind you, I was ever so good. You'd all have been proud of me. Didn't deck him either. Am I going soft in my old age? No, definitely not. Right, so they do it for diabetics. That's what I thought it was. I've never had them dilated either. I believe you can't drive after that. I have a friend who has that done. But they put this thing on your eye. You can't even feel it. The not feeling it bit I'd quite like, as long as they were 3 yards away. Which I don't think is going to work. Can't they just point a camera at you and tell you everything they need to know? In fact, I bought my own glasses and just left it like that. I'm all right. I was contemplating going, but my problem is because they vary so much, it would depend how they were on the day. You could come back with milk bottle glasses that you wouldn't be able to see through on a good day. Oh, it's loads of fun. Oh, dear. No. I'm wondering when that started, you know. I don't think I went until I was about 16. Let me have a look at that one. Oh, there's a link there. I want to see that link. Right, I've got the link going in here. Going in there. Right, let's have a look at it. I'm going to be freaked out by this, aren't I? I'm better with dental stuff now. Right, let's try and get that. Why have I got that at the end of it? Hang on. Lost a G off the end now. Oh. It didn't look like that. It didn't have a light on it. It wasn't as small as that. It was quite a big thing that you put your chin on. And then these things were like pushed right up to your eyeballs and then like blue on them. So no, I've not seen anything like that. Have you, Mike?
No.
No, we've not got anything like that here. We'll have to have a look at that. It'll come in 3 years' time. Right, let me get back to the chat so I can see the chat. Okay. Right, we'll have to find somebody who's prepared to come on and chat and tell us about their passion, aren't we? Anybody got any volunteering to do for that? Not tonight. We will keep it for either tomorrow or Sunday or whenever is convenient to you. We are going to wrap up fairly early tonight just because we're back at 9. And I've got an email to write and I've got these post-it notes to file. But how are we doing over here? The hospital, the Nightingale Hospital, is underway and they're putting in oxygen tanks. That's getting scary beans. They've also said, I don't know if you've even heard this today, Mike, that they're building more of these pop-up hospitals. They have already allocated, you may have heard of this, the NEC in Birmingham, the National Exhibition Centre, as another one. Now, that place is huge because we've been there, haven't we? And they've got like 13 exhibition halls. Mm. So that's been requisitioned and they're converting that. And wait for it, Mike, GMEX, which I believe is now called the Central Manchester Exhibition Centre or something. Jonathan will know. He'd probably see it from his window. But it used to be GMEX, Greater Manchester Exhibition Centre. That was actually, in days gone by, a train station, which was converted. Was it Central Station, Manchester?
Yeah.
Yeah, Central Station. There was actually trains there when I was a kid, but they closed it down. So if you can imagine a huge train station where they filled in all the tracks, so you've got this massive open space. So it's quite oldie-worldy to look at it from the outside, But on the inside, it's just an empty space. There's loads of stuff in there. So it's now, it was Manchester Central. I'd never really used it, but it is a beautiful building, isn't it? I have been in there since to a couple of conferences, and we went to a do at the Midland Hotel, which is literally across the road from it. And we've used the car park, which is underneath. That's like something out of Phantom of the Opera, to be honest. But it is a beautiful, beautiful place, and they're going to commandeer it. I expected it, to be honest. I expected it either there or used to be the 9X, what's that called? The Arena, Manchester Arena. But Manchester Arena, I've not been in there for years. Aren't the seats fixed in the arena? It's not like an empty exhibition space, is it? It's a concert space.
Yeah.
So I would think the seats were fixed, in which case GMEX or whatever they're calling it this week would be a better bet. So that's going to be happening shortly. And we've got Bojo and Matt Hancock holed up with Michael Gove in charge. This is scary. At least in the States, you know who takes over. Because I've seen it in a million different programmes like 24 and what was the other one? Madam Secretary, you have a pecking order. There's the president, the vice president, and then doesn't it go through the speaker? There's a pecking order. We don't have that unless the prime minister decides to appoint a deputy prime minister. Margaret Thatcher had a deputy prime minister. Tony Blair did, didn't he? It wasn't just Gordon Brown, was it? I'm sure he had a deputy. Can't for life me remember who it was, but I'm sure it had a deputy. So some have, but it's not compulsory. So at the moment, we were told it was going to be Dominic Raab. Not a lot of people like him. But we ended up with Michael Gove. So who knows? It could be anybody. In fact, if enough of them go down, it could be me next week, which would be good news all round, because I'd probably have it sorted out in a week. Or let it go on for a year, one way or the other. Yeah, David Cameron did. Who was it? I thought, well, have we ever had a woman deputy prime minister? Did Theresa May have a deputy? Oh, good grief, of course he did. Clegg. Clegg, that's the fella. Yes, because it was a What's It government, wasn't it? That's why I couldn't remember. I was thinking of all the Conservatives it could have been. No, it was a shared government. So, yes, it was Nick Clegg. So, basically, you voted Tory, but you got a different party. That was the plan. I would say, luckily, Cameron didn't drop, but obviously there was the Brexit thing. So let's not think about that. But he only did that when he got a majority, didn't he? Right, well, we're going to head off. So good night to everybody. We'll be back in 58 minutes, by which time I am hoping to have a clear desk and an email to send out to you. So fantastic to chat tonight. Don't forget, still looking for volunteers to share a passion. So let me know. Let me know, or let me know later in the chat there. But for the moment, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you shortly. Next time. Yeah, shortly. Next time. Soon.